Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Columbus weighs an ordinance that would regulate large data centers. Travelers brace for the coming closure of a section of Atlanta's perimeter highway, and FIFA World Cup fans coming to Atlanta are likely to encounter high temperatures.
We know that there's still going to be thousands and thousands of people heading to environments where they might be experiencing extreme heat.
Today is Thursday, June 4th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The Columbus Council is rolling out an ordinance that would clearly define and regulate data centers. A first reading of what's called an overlay ordinance for hyperscale data centers is scheduled for Tuesday, June 9th. The ordinance would cover some data centers anywhere in the consolidated jurisdiction of Columbus and Muskogee County. The ordinance recommendations prepared by a special committee include clear definitions of what constitutes a, quote, hyperscale data center and requirements for noise, water use, and other campus design specs. Residents at Tuesday's meeting expressed concerns about data centers. Barring any delays, the vote on the ordinance would take place on Tuesday, June 16th. The move by Columbus comes as cities and towns across the state grapple with how to handle data centers. Augusta, for example, proposed a moratorium on new data center projects earlier this week to give the city time to lay the ground rules for future data centers. Climate scientists are raising the alarm about extreme heat in World Cup host cities, including Atlanta, as GPB's Amanda Andrews reports.
Data from Climate Central shows all 8 Atlanta World Cup matches will likely have temperatures over 82 degrees that could impact players' performance. But Mercedes-Benz Stadium is one of 4 World Cup host venues with a closed roof and climate control. Meteorologist Tom DiLiberto says heat can still affect soccer fans and workers as they travel to and from the stadium.
The stadium itself might be climate controlled. We know that there's still going to be thousands and thousands of people heading to environments where they might be experiencing extreme heat.
FIFA will mandate hydration and cooling breaks for players during all 104 World Cup games. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is asking for an investigation of MARTA, Atlanta's public transportation system. The request comes after 2 recent stabbings. A man was stabbed at a MARTA station on Memorial Day weekend, and a woman was fatally stabbed on a train nearly a week later. The Federal Transportation Administration has been asked to look for systemic conditions that endanger the public. In a statement, a MARTA spokesperson says, quote, MARTA remains committed to continuously evaluating and strengthening our safety programs, procedures, and resources to provide a safe, secure, and reliable transit experience. The move comes at a tough moment for MARTA. MARTA postponed today's planned launch of new trains because of testing and safety delays. MARTA and Atlanta had hoped to have the new rail cars in service before FIFA World Cup matches, which kick off June 15th. Another petroleum contamination incident has been reported near the headwaters of the Flint River at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. The latest incident was reported Memorial Day weekend. R.J. Gapaya, director of field operations for the Flint Riverkeeper, said he confirmed there was fuel in the water.
The major tip-off was sheen on the water and then, of course, odor. You'll get on these bridge crossings during these events, and it's unmistakable kerosene smell.
The amount of fuel that made it into the river is unknown. The latest spill follows a major jet fuel release in January and a separate petroleum contamination event in April. All 3 investigations remain ongoing. The Georgia Department of Transportation is planning another full closure of a section of I-285 this weekend. The closure of the perimeter highway between exits 7 and 9 west of Atlanta begins tomorrow at 7 p.m. and will last until Monday, June 8th at 5 a.m. The DOT is urging drivers to use 511GA as the primary source for traffic conditions and plan for additional travel time or alternate routes. Following an 8-month hiatus, the State Board of Public Health will finally be meeting in the coming weeks. GPB's Sophie Gradas has more.
At the last State Board of Health meeting in September, members went over vaccine recommendations and recapped a busy flu season, among other items. Commissioner Kathleen Toomey and other members also noted how changes in federal priorities and leadership are straining public health departments.
We will have to step up and play a larger leadership role, both in what course of action we take, how we prioritize, and in working with the public to ensure that accurate information is out.
But then the board held off meeting for months. At the upcoming meeting on June 16th, board members will go over the 2027 budget and consider a proposal to use bonds to fund improvements at public health offices and labs. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
A study from Georgia Tech confirms some of the reasons mosquitoes bite. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more on the findings.
Research finds mosquitoes respond to breath and visual cues, but Chris Zuhl wanted to measure their flight patterns to understand their biting behavior. Using high-speed cameras, he found that mosquitoes don't swarm. They go after the same stimuli.
If there's just like a bar with live music and it's like a cool place to be, you'll see a lot of people go there. But it's not necessarily because one person's following the next person. It's just because there's a ton of cool things there and they all want to be there.
The Georgia Department of Public Health says recent heavy rain and high humidity are causing mosquito populations to surge. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
The Atlanta History Center is celebrating a big birthday. The History Museum, Research Center, and Archive is turning 100. The mission of what began as the Atlanta Historical Society has always been to encourage Atlantans to preserve their own history and share it with others. To mark a century of that work, the Atlanta History Center is unveiling 6 new exhibits throughout 2026. GPB's Morgan Colbert has more.
In the Atlanta Historical Society's first published bulletin, locals submitted papers about the history of Spelman College, the 19th century burning of a fancy hotel in Five Points, and the history of the Scottish Rite Children's Hospital. The Atlanta History Center's Chief Development Officer, Sarah Fonder Christie, says the institution still relies on the support of residents.
Throughout our whole 100 years of history, our citizens in Atlanta have been the bedrock of what's made this place possible. They've helped grow our collection, and they fill our halls.
And to celebrate 100 years, the center will present an exhibit called The More Perfect Union, the American Civil War. Much of the exhibit comes from what the center calls the Dug Collections, which are artifacts dug up over decades by amateur archaeologists. Paula Shagnon, the Atlanta History Center's chief content officer, says the exhibit explores how the Civil War impacted the country.
We are talking about how it impacted the peoples and places outside of only that battlefield. And really importantly, not only what the lead up was to that, the war itself, but also where did it leave us as a country?
Part one of the exhibit opens in July. And part two, Hard Hand of War, Soldiers, Weapons, and Mass Production, opens in October. That part of the exhibit will explore the depth of the technology used during the war. And because little kids need access to history too, they can come to the center and experience the new version of the Goizueta Children's Experience. Shagnon says the new theme will teach kids how to be a good sport.
So the new theme is Atlanta sports. So we're really excited about being able, similarly, to introduce these teams to these little folks who already probably have some sense of fandom from their parents, but this is something they can own and can emulate a little more closely. And, you know, there'll be kind of encouragement around what it means to be a good sport, not just a good athlete.
Later in the fall, the center will open Exile from Georgia, the Cherokee Muskogee Trail of Tears exhibit. There, in an immersive theater space, visitors will see what it was like for young Native Americans to walk the Trail of Tears. Currently on display is something called the Atlanta and Objects Museum-Wide Exhibition. Across the museum, guests can engage with 100 objects of Atlanta's history, like an Atlanta street lamppost from the 1860s. Leaning on that lamppost was Solomon Lucky, a wealthy, free black entrepreneur. But nearby, a Union shell burst, and the shrapnel struck Lucky, making him the first civilian killed in the Battle of Atlanta. Collections manager Erica Haig says this exhibit is part of the center's mission of making its collections accessible to everyday Atlanta citizens.
We do try to be good stewards of the materials that we have, and part of that is access.
a mission the center intends to keep for at least another 100 years. For GPB News, I'm Morgan Colbert in Buckhead.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.
Hyundai began manufacturing its first Kia model this week at its facility in Ellabelle, about 30 miles west of downtown Savannah. The Kia Sportage Hybrid is the first hybrid electric vehicle and the third vehicle to be produced at the site. The company plans to ramp up production to reach its goal of 500,000 vehicles annually. In sports, the Braves aim for a sweep tonight as they wrap up the three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Both Mauricio Dubon and Ozzie Albies went deep with three-run homers yesterday to help the Braves beat the Jays 7-3. Chris Sale is scheduled to get the start for the Braves tonight. And a Middle Georgia educator was named the 2027 Georgia Teacher of the Year. Charm Mapp teaches 8th grade math at Clifton Ridge Middle School in Jones County. She described the honor as both astonishing and bittersweet. As Teacher of the Year, Mapp will take a one-year sabbatical to act as a full-time ambassador for Georgia public education. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of the stories you heard today, visit gpb.org/news. And if you're in the mood for another podcast right now, I highly recommend the latest episode of Marked, a new podcast from GPB. In this episode, we explore the life and legend of Nancy Hart, one of the most famous figures of the American Revolution in Georgia. Find Marked in your podcast app or at gpb.org/marked. Now, if you haven't subscribed to Georgia Today yet, we highly recommend it. It's a great way to stay on top of all the Georgia headlines. Subscribe now, and we'll pop up in your feed automatically tomorrow afternoon. And your feedback is always welcome, of course. Send it to us by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.